All content discussed on Hypochondriac are the individual opinions of Dr. Priyanka Wally and Sean Hayes and should not be construed as personalized medical advice. By listening to this podcast, you agree not to use this podcast as medical advice to treat any medical condition in either yourself or others. Consult your own physician for any medical issues that you may be having. This entire disclaimer also applies to any guests or contributors to the podcast.
I'm Dr. Priyanka Wally, medical doctor and stand-up comedian.
And I'm Sean Hayes, actor and hypochondriac. It's safe to say that I'm not America's first hypochondriac, but I am America's first hypochondriactor. Hi, Priyanka!
Hey, Sean! How are you? What is new in your life?
Oh, I'll tell you what's new. Ready for this?
Oh, my gosh. What's going on?
It's going to be so good. Because I have this disc problem in my neck, right?
Okay.
It's like a nerve thing, and it goes down to my right arm. And you know, I'm about to do that play on Broadway, which I'm so excited about. It, you know, I'm kind of like freaked out. Like, you know, actors freak out. Like, are we going to be able to perform every
night?
Blah, blah. So I thought maybe I'll get PRP, which we talked about.
We talked about that, right?
Your blood, they spin it, they inject it, right?
Whatever. Yeah. Just to be clear, you would do PRP in the neck.
Is that the plan? The shoulder, the arm. Like, she was going to
do it like
four or five times.
All at the same time? Or in different stages? Okay, cool.
And I was going to get knocked out, right? Which, you know, is the best thing in the world. By the way, what's the worst advice you ever got? Not even in medicine, just in life. Mine was, I don't want to say his name because he's such a great guy and he's a big producer in Hollywood. But when I was really young, I met with him and he's, you know, very, very, very successful producer.
Uh-huh.
And he goes,
how young were you, by the way?
I was 26 or 7 or something.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, your brain was fully developed by 26.
Well,
yeah,
not really.
Okay, you weren't that young.
It's still not fully developed. But I'm still pretty much an idiot. But he says to me, the worst advice was just be patient. Right? Because Will and Grace came out and I thought, oh, now's my chance. I got to go like meet this person and this writer and that producer and that director. And
try to parlay
what tiny, you know, success I was having at the time into something else. Because as an actor, you freak out. It's like all about your next job. So you can pay your bills, right? Oh my God, I got to use the attention this is getting to get my next job. So I can pay my rent, keep it going.
Yeah.
Right. So I can make a living. And so, he's just like, hey, calm down. Just be patient.
Mm.
And I'm like, that's the worst advice. Because it's like, no, you gotta hustle. You gotta be a hustle in this business. And so I was like, be patient. It's easy for you to say. You be patient.
You're 85 years old. Yeah. Okay, well, along that thread, honestly, one of the worst pieces of advice that I got when I was like working on stand-up and kind of up in coming along, someone was like, never say no to stage time. You always need to say yes to all stage time opportunities.
That's interesting.
And at the time, I took it so seriously. So I was performing in dive bars in like the shadiest places. I remember, laundromats, I was like, well, never say no to stage time. You know, people were like, well, we have like a free show at this church and there's going to be like, you know, people walking through parking lots. I mean, I did it
That's
all.
Hysterical.
You know what I mean? Like, I did it all.
So the worst advice was to show up to those. And you're saying.
Yeah, never.
You're like,
if you get an opportunity to perform, never turn it down. And then now I'm like, no. Like,
only
you
do
don't
the ones
say
that
yes
make sense.
To every gig. Like,
yeah.
That is also part of self-love, like saying, no, I'm not going to perform at this place where
Right. But I wonder if the advice was in the vein of like, any chance you get, exercise your craft, your art. Like if you don't think about the result, just kind of do it as opposed to not doing it.
Yeah, but yes. Okay, fine. I'll give you that. And though, like, there were some gigs that I did. I remember once I drove 3 hours to perform at this bar in Gilroy, California. And in the middle of my set, this, like, gang fight. There was actual gang warfare coming out. And we had to, like, basically evacuate the show. And then I was like, you know what? I need to start saying no to these gigs.
Yeah,
but at the time, I was so in love with performing.
Yeah.
I remember driving home from that gig. And the city of Gilroy, it's like the garlic capital of California or something. Like, sure. The whole town smells like garlic, which I'm allergic to, by the way. So I'm like driving away. I got to do my set, but then I couldn't stay for the whole show because of the gang fight. And I remember feeling like so happy. I was like, damn, I must really love performing if like
here.
I drove 3 hours to not get paid and possibly put my life and safety at risk. And I was like, I'm also a doctor. Like, also am, like, I have degrees. Like, what is going on?
You put yourself in the middle of a garlic pit.
Literally, like a gang garlic pit.
Yeah, well, you're
gang garlic warfare.
They broke out into a fight because your comedy is so controversial, as everybody knows.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I killed it. But now, you know, like 9 years later, I'm like, oh, I'm not going to say yes to those kinds of opportunities. But
well, you don't need to. So. You're Priyanka Wally.
Yeah,
you're Dr. Priyanka Wally. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, anyways, so yeah, that's what's up.
You know what else is what's up?
Our guest today, who is an Olympian. This is our first Olympian guest, Sean.
Yeah, Sean White.
Yeah,
I mean, snowboarder extraordinaire. I mean,
can you believe
he's here today? This is wild.
This is our first Olympian. So many gold medals, X Games.
But listen, our guest caller today, her name is Stacey. I can't wait to talk to her. She has a story about a 7-year pain in her butt.
Mm.
I don't know what this is about. So Stacey is here to share more. Let's talk to Stacey. Hi, Stacey.
Hi, guys.
So tell me, first of all, it's so nice to meet you. Where are you from?
Yeah.
So I'm from Maryland.
Yeah.
Great.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. I love Maryland. And you have a really interesting story that I can't wait to hear about because, you know, I love anything that has to do with butts and anuses and, you know what I mean? So wait, so talk us through what happened because I don't know. I don't know the story. You were riding your bike and you fell down. You went boom.
Okay, so it was 1988. I was a college student.
Me too. That was my first year.
Yep. And it was University of Maryland College Park. And it was summer school. So I was living pretty close to campus. I was renting a room or whatever. So I used to ride my bike to school, to campus.
Yeah.
Sure.
And I was good. Helmet. Everything.
Of course. And you were a safe driver.
I was a safe driver. But in the 80s, you know, bike sort of rules weren't as big a deal as I think they are now.
Totally.
But I was a total dork. And I was like all, you know, left turn, you know, right turn, whatever.
You were obeying the law.
Yeah.
Yes, I was.
I could never get those down. I was like, it looked like I was always just waving to people. People were like waving back to me. I was like, no, I'm trying to.
I can never just drive with one hand. That always was so hard because you have to lift an arm to do the thing.
It's dangerous. They make us do that. Okay, go
ahead. But you were a really good, safe, you know, law-abiding bicycle rider.
Exactly. And so I pulled into campus and then I sort of bared right and there was a driver behind me, which I knew. And then I, you know, sort of did the left turn signal.
Okay.
But in his defense, I was not turning onto a road. I was turning onto a sidewalk. So it was like a crosswalk, but I was in the road. Mm-hmm. And I guess he got a little bit antsy. So he went to pass me just as I put my little signal on, you know, I put my hand out. And so I actually collided with his car and then I bounced down, you know, his car as he kind of went past me. And then I landed on my butt.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
He pulled over. He completely freaked out. Mm-hmm. I took my bike and I just like tossed it onto the grass or whatever. And that was the first time I understood the meaning of I got the wind knocked out of me. Like I was having trouble catching my breath.
Breathing.
Wow.
Thank God. By the way, thank God you landed on your butt. It's the softest place to land.
I know. Yes.
Right. Except for your coccyx, though, right?
Except for the coccyx issue, yes.
What's the coccyx? I don't want to land on my cock.
The coccyx is the medical term for your tailbone. So,
okay, got it.
One of the most common causes, the medical term for coccyx pain is called coccydynia. Dynia is the word for pain. And falling directly on your bum in a sitting position is one of the most common causes of coccydynia.
All right.
Yes. So I guess that's what happened to me. So I got myself together and it was sore, like I was in pain, but I never went to the doctor. I was 21.
Sure. Yeah.
And went to class. Fast forward, I got married in 92, and in 94, we're having our first child. And I'm in labor, active labor, you know, and okay. we had been in the hospital for a while. I had been pushing for 2 hours. I could not push the baby out. And the doctor said, would you like me to use forceps? And at that point, you're like, do whatever you need to do to get this baby out of me.
And just a clarifying question, were you in the lithotomy position where you're in stirrups, your legs are up in the stirrup stuff, and you're in a semi-reclined position? Okay, that's important. That's an important point. Okay.
Yes. And so, and I never even thought about the coccyx bone issue. I didn't even know that it had broken, honestly.
By the way,
so,
that's how I sleep. I sleep in that position.
The lithotomy position?
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
So he gets the forceps and he's pulling the baby out.
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden, we hear a very loud crack in
your
delivery room.
Wow. Oh my goodness.
And so I sort of popped my head up and I look at the doctor and I said, what was that?
Yeah.
And he said, I'm not sure.
Oh.
And I was like, oh God.
You don't want to hear that.
That can't be good.
What if your baby came out and said, what the hell was that?
Yeah. It was so noisy back there. My God.
It used to be quiet. And there's that loud clang. Okay, so go ahead.
So the baby is born. Baby's fine. I'm in some pain.
And
it was, and I was also, you know, it was my first baby. Everything's a little bit surreal when you're a new mom.
Yeah, totally.
And, you know, lack of sleep and everything else. And I was also breastfeeding. And so I think it was probably 2 weeks in and the pain was still very sore. So I finally went to the doctor. They sent me for an X-ray. And it was then that I realized what had happened. And he said, it looks like, you know, the baby's head came out and he wasn't exceptionally big, but I think what happened is the first time the coccyx bone healed at a funny angle. And then when the baby came out, you know, his head with the forceps and everything else, it re-cracked the coccyx.
Wow.
And he just said, there's nothing you can do about it. So it still had to heal again for a second time.
Yeah.
But back in the right position? Is that what it did? Did it correct it?
I don't know. I'm not really sure, but so we have three kids. So for every, you know, pregnancy thereafter, I said to my doctor, I was like, listen, just so you know, this happened to you, baby number one, you need to be aware of it, but it never happened again. So I assume it healed correctly.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I thought you should give the doctor a heads up that there might be a crack near my crack when the baby comes out.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. Yeah. So first of all, it's correct that the pressure of the baby in the birth canal creates enough internal pressure to place it on the tailbone that it can eventually lead to a fracture. And then any additional pressure can basically add to that. If you're in a semi-reclined position, that will also add external pressure from the body itself. And it's interesting because historically, you know, this position with stirrups, this is only a recently developed position since the 1920s, 1930s. Prior to that, women would give childbirth in a squatting position.
Right.
They had these little birth stools with holes in them. And, you know, sometimes they would lie flat. So, like, this is a new thing to be using stirrups in the lithotomy position.
A stool with a hole in it. It's like playing cornhole with babies.
Yeah, that's literally.
All right, so, but let me ask you something. Did you have pain all those 6 years before the baby? Did you, how did it heal? Did you have pain? How long was the pain for?
So the first time, I don't really remember. Well, I was 21, I was young, and I was fit, and obviously, you know, I was bike riding and stuff. It really wasn't that long, maybe a week at the most. If I ever sat on like a hard chair, like a metal chair for like a meeting or something for a really long time, it was a little bit tender. But I really didn't have pain. And then after my son was born, that lasted a while. That probably, I got one of those donut pillows. That probably
I was
going to
ask, did you sit on a donut? Yeah.
I did. Because in addition to all that was going on with,
sounds,
you know,
like
new parenthood and whatnot, you know, I was nursing for the first time. And so you're trying to figure it all out and
totally
sleep and whatnot. So.
But you're okay now? Any pain? Any kind of discomfort?
No pain. No pain.
Oh, that's so wonderful.
I love
to hear.
That. No pain. And three kids?
Three kids.
That's great. What a story. I love that. Isn't that fun and exciting? I bet you're an amazing mom.
Oh, you're sweet.
I'm so glad that you're pain-free because sometimes people can have persistent pain. And then what the treatment is, if you have continuing pain that doesn't go away, they end up just surgically taking out your tailbone.
Like,
you can't have tailbone pain if you have no tailbone. And that's like someone has failed a lot of like non-surgical treatments, like the donut hole doesn't work.
Then you can join the circus because you're so flexible.
Well, I'm glad your hiney's okay. You're okay. The kids are okay.
Thank you.
Know, thanks for coming on the show because, you know, females are 5 times more likely to get tailbone injuries compared to men. So it's like really prevalent. So yeah, thanks for sharing that experience.
Yeah, Stacey, thank you so much. I'm glad everything worked out.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate being on the show. And I just want to tell you one thing, that my husband and I just celebrated our 30th wedding anniversary all that.
I love that. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. And thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming on, Stacey. What a wild experience, right?
I thought she was going to say when the baby came out, it like cracked and adjusted to perfect alignment. Like, you know, when someone adjusts your back.
Yeah, I was like, that would have been so satisfying. Manipulation.
Yes. I'm like, because I've had lower back, you know, issues. I was just like, do I need to have a baby to make it like feel better?
You don't need to have a baby, Sean. All right, you can breathe easy about that. But
look, I'm open to it.
It's very common, the coccyx as well.
What a name.
I think I might have fractured my tailbone at some point when I was young after a horseback riding experience horse was going like really, really like galloping and I was like bouncing up and down. And then I remember my butt hurt for like a week after that. And I think in hindsight, it was a tailbone injury as well.
Well, you know what they say, if you fall off a horse, just don't get on again.
Yeah, I know.
Like just
I know.
Be done with
just
it.
Just do horse therapy. Don't ride the horse. Just do horse therapy.
Right? Oh, good God. Anyway, guys, we love the messages. We love you calling in. If you want to appear on the show, if you want to just call, we love it, love it, love it. The number to leave us a message is 1-323-529-6031. Again, 323-529-6031. Keep sharing your stories with us. We love it. Let's get to our guest.
We are supported by Helix Sleep. Sean, I've had my Helix for a while now, and I got to tell you, I'm just really obsessed with it.
I'm telling you, yes, the Helix Sleep is like so good. It really does work. It's like, oh my God, I feel like I'm sleeping on a cloud.
Now, I took the Helix quiz.
Yes.
And I got the mattress that was made for me, and it's really a huge upgrade over what I used to have. And let's not even forget about how easy setting it up was. It was just fast and easy.
Yeah, because I'm a dum-dum. I set it up right away and with no help from Scotty. I didn't need any help. And I'm sleeping well. And my dog sleeps on the bed. Everybody enjoys it. It's so great. So if you're looking for a mattress, you take the quiz, you order the mattress that you're matched to, and the mattress comes right to your door, shipped for free. You don't even need to go to a mattress store again.
Just go to helixsleep.com/hypo, take their 2-minute sleep quiz, and they'll match you to a customized mattress that will give you the best sleep.
They have a 10-year warranty, and you get to try it out for 100 nights risk-free. They'll even pick it up for you if you don't love it, but you will.
Helix is offering up to $200 off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners at helixsleep.com/hypo.
Hypochondriac Actor is supported by Indeed.
Hiring well means getting past preconceived ideas and recognizing top talent. How do you do it? You need Indeed.
Indeed is the hiring platform where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place.
So this is actually a true story, Sean. I actually found my current social media manager / personal assistant.
Oh, great.
Through Indeed.
One. Oh, that's great. That's fantastic.
So I'm really happy, actually.
That's great. I love that. I love that. Indeed assessments help take the stress out of the interview process. Just ask Priyanka. Candidates get to show their skills before the interview so you can dive deeper into talking about what's important to you.
Don't spend hours on multiple job sites looking for candidates with the right skills when you can do it all with Indeed.
Find top talent fast with Indeed's suite of powerful hiring tools like Indeed Instant Match, assessments, and virtual interviews.
Indeed knows when you're growing your own business, you have to make every dollar count. That's why with Indeed, you only pay for quality applications that match your must-have job requirements. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Visit Indeed.com/actor to start hiring now. Just go to Indeed.com/actor. Indeed.com/actor. Terms and conditions apply.
Oh,
there he is.
Our our guest today is a five-time Olympian, one less than me, and a three-time Olympic gold medalist in half-pipe snowboarding. He's won a record-breaking 15 gold medals at the X Games. He's an incredibly talented snowboarder and skateboarder and a lovely human being. It's so unfortunate he spells his name wrong. It's the amazing Sean White. Sean White.
Hi. Sean, welcome to
the show. This is such an honor that you're here.
Yes.
Thanks for having me.
We are so thrilled.
Hey, why S-H-A-U-N and not correct S-E-A-N?
You know, it's a really funny story because my sister is named Carrie White. And Carrie White is the name of the girl in that crazy movie.
Oh, Carrie. Yeah.
Carrie. Yeah.
Oh, in the movie Carrie?
Yeah.
Literally, her
Carrie
name
White.
is Carrie White.
Oh, that's crazy.
And my mom's really superstitious. She's like, we can't have that as her name. So she went through all these great lengths to change it. And so when I was born, she actually wrote S-H-A-W-N on the birth certificate, but they took it as a U. And at this point, she's just like, whatever.
Screw it.
Oh, wow. So it's literally a typo.
Yeah. I don't know why the S-E-A-N never happened. So
well, that's too bad. I'm sorry. Yeah. Mine was very intentional and it's incredible.
It is very nice.
Settle down now. So, Sean, we are so excited because you're the first Olympian that has ever graced Hypochondriactor's presence. So that's like amazing. And you've won 15 gold medals. I mean, the first time must have been this amazing feeling. But by number 13, 14, are you kind of like, ugh, over this?
No, well, to bring it back a minute, just like I did all those medals at the X Games and various other events. For the Olympics, I've only got three, which not only, but you know, three is pretty amazing and dumb. But the first time, I mean, nothing really compares to it. I mean, I just remember snowboarding wasn't much, you know, there was no Olympics, the X Games had just started, all these things. And so to be an Olympian to actually win a gold medal wasn't really a thing, you know, and then to do it was just wild. So my life, you know, really changed forever after that.
Well, I have to say, it's really, really cool for us to have you here today. It's just really cool to meet you. It's so impressive. I'm sure you get that everywhere you go.
All the time. Yeah. Yes. But you really are like one of the coolest people ever.
Thank you. And I know our time is limited. I want to go rapid fire with a bunch of questions before we get into the medical stuff because I saw your face rip open. It was crazy. But anyway, listen, I want to talk about White Space. Right,
yes,
is it like it's a lifestyle brand you created? Tell us a little bit about it. I know it's rooted in snow sports, right?
Yeah. So you know, White, obviously my last name, but you know, White Space was a fun terminology used for like a blank canvas or like a space waiting for something new to be created. And I love that when thinking about these winter sports because you know you have to invent your tricks. It's not just like you can win in the gym. You have to actually create something new to be the best. So it's always your artistry is always, you're always changing and evolving. And since I was 7 years old, I was sponsored by different companies and with them made products, all these things. And
Seven years old.
I mean, it's been
What were you a sponsor for? Gerber? I mean, that's crazy. That's nuts.
They needed me.
Yeah, well, believe me.
So, you know, it was a kid's snowboarding brand. It just started making kids stuff because they didn't really have that at the time.
Okay. Wow.
And so I was on the team. And so anyways, over the years, created products with these companies and most recently just teamed up with my brother to like create our own thing, which has been so fun. I mean, sponsors are cool. It's amazing. You learn so much, but like my job was always to, you know, fit their mold the best I could while still trying to be me. So it's their logo, their colorways, their slogan, their everything. And now you can kind of create your own mold.
And now you're like, watch this, bitches.
Exactly. So for me, like, obviously testing the products and that, like you said, it's rooted in winter sports. We're hoping to grow from there. But I can put all my expertise into the products.
I saw some of the stuff. It's super, super, super. Like,
Thank
I would
you.
Wear, like, when you get like t-shirts and shorts and stuff, like I'll totally wear that stuff.
Right.
I would love it. It's a great brand. Now,
right
like, I want to talk to you about you were in the cold open of Saturday Night Live. Sean White's in the what? This is so cool. It was hysterical. What? Tell me, were you nervous? Because I hosted before.
I can't imagine, huh?
Tell me, were you nervous?
You know, I wish I could say it was really premeditated, but it wasn't. I was at dinner. And we were friends with the tellers, Miles and his wife. And I say we, my girlfriend and I. And so we're like, oh, this will be cool. We'll come watch. And, you know, I'm at dinner maybe an hour or two before. And they're like, do you want to be in a skit? I'm like, oh my God, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Like, well, what would I do? Like, they're like, all right, we're gonna put you in this outfit and you got one line. I was like, perfect.
I love that you were like, yes, and not like, oh God, I don't know. But you were like, yeah, let's do it.
I've been a fan of SNL forever. So I was like, right. I'll do whatever you want.
Yeah,
but then I got there, you know, and you get there and it's like, they're doing the read through of everything just before it starts. And it's just like this intensity's building.
Yeah, it's real intense.
Costume. And they literally just pushed me out into the into the set. And I'm like, oh, hey. Through my line. And that was like,
it's over.
Yeah,
it's over.
It was nerve wracking,
but a
really
super high,
fun.
I bet, like a great rush. Yeah,
for sure. Yeah, I was just honored to be a part of it.
It was so great. And now, by the way, you're retired. Mm-hmm. Right? At 35. Are you 35?
I just turned 36.
Yeah. Okay. Happy birthday.
Oh, congrats. Happy birthday.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry you get this question every day of your life, but I don't know the answer. Why are you retired? What? such a young age.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, for me, I mean, I started so young. I mean, I've been to 5 Olympics now. I mean, it's been a lifetime doing this sport.
So you feel like you've achieved what you wanted to, it's time to explore other things, that kind of thing?
It was a mix. I mean, it's just kind of like, you know, you pull from this pool of inspiration and that can kind of dry up at times. So you got to find new ways to motivate. And, you know, usually the motivation is to win. And then you win and you're like, okay, well, I want to win again. You know, cement it in.
Yeah.
Then you win again and it's like, I really want to win. You got to find reasons to push. And I just felt myself slowly kind of losing a bit of that. And when you're doing sports like this, there's something on the line. You know, if I crash, I can be injured. And just like anything, there's risks. You know, driving to the mountains probably more dangerous than anything. But yeah, I was taking these crashes and things and it just kind of felt like, you know what, this is time. And I was so thankful because I got to decide. You know, so many athletes, you just get called in a room and they're like, so it's over.
Yes, I say that often to friends too when we talk about this subject. Is like, if you don't set these kinds of lifestyle goals for yourself, nobody's going to do it. So it's on your timeline, right? Because otherwise, it's all kind of a gray area of, well, I could keep going or not. You really have to kind of be your best advocate and end it on your terms, right?
Yeah, and I had friends in the same industry that are like, man, it's the life after is amazing. Like, you get to do all these things that you never had time to do. And
while you have the time to do them.
Yeah, and you're not so injured that you're after, you know, their second life or whatever is going to be painful. A lot of things were lining up. I was like, okay.
I just have a really, like, growing up as an athlete and clearly a very good one, which, you know, you're super well known for. But were you like the most popular guy in high school? Were you like that guy?
I think I kind of was, but I didn't know.
That means yes. That's yes.
I didn't know how to deal with it. I was more just like, I was super shy. And so I had a bad reputation for being like stuck up or snobby because I didn't know what to say. I'd be getting paid these compliments and I would just kind of, and high school's brutal. Like,
it
you
is.
Know, they're like, oh, are you friends with Tony Hawk? I see him at the skate park. And they're like, oh, cool. Like, how many sponsors do you have? And you're like, oh, there's a few, you know? And then you walk by that person in the hall and they're like, Sean wouldn't shut up about how he's friends with Tony Hawk and how many sponsors he has. And, and I was like, I can't do this, you know? Yeah. And
they build you up to tear you down.
Yeah, I ended up doing like independent study at that point. And I was traveling all over the world. And it was kind of wild because when I went into my high school kind of, you know, principal's office, I was just like, hey, look, the snowboarding thing's really taken off. I'd love to have some help where I could, you know, I'm missing a lot of school being on the road. And they're like, we'd love to help. We do have programs, but your sport's not legitimate. It's not one of the names on our, you know, on our list here. It's not horseback riding or tennis or whatever. And so I ended up moving to a different school district. And so it was an interesting time. But yeah, I do remember getting a lot of attention at a young age and not really knowing had a deal.
I love that they said, like, your sport's not legitimate. Like,
it's not legit. Like, that's
it's
so like, ironic.
It's like pickleball.
Right.
Like, you know, I'm sure pickleball's next.
But, yeah.
But it just goes to the point, like, it is so important to tailor education to the individual's needs.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
like,
yes,
you were fortunate enough to find a place where you could successfully do independent study and nurture yourself in that environment. But yeah, it should be totally individualized. Yeah.
Now, I just want to say, and I think it was 2016 or 17 that you had that major crash on one of your things. And I saw the image of your face. It was I can't get out of my, I'm like, this would be the greatest Halloween mask ever. Like, it looked like your face was split open.
Yeah.
So I just want to know, again, we can talk about it or not talk about it.
No, I'm totally game.
I want it because you had something like 60 stitches.
Yeah, 62.
And was it reconstructive surgery on your mouth and nose and face? Like, where were the stitches?
There were a lot, like, my tongue is still numb. I don't know why.
Wow.
I bit through my tongue, and then I think my goggles had separated, and the lens had sliced my forehead pretty sizably.
It looked like your mouth was...
And that was the last impact. I hit here, and basically, I don't know. I mean, I'm thankful it was a pretty straight cut, but it split my lip, and then it got to the bridge of my nose here, of my nose, and then just kind of shredded.
Oh, and my gosh.
You know,
that hurts my penis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah.
And I just remember going, oh, Sean, what'd you do? You know, like...
Did you know immediately, right when it happened, you're like, this is bad?
I didn't. I remember just being like really frustrated because I knew what I did wrong. And it's a weird thing to... I was like, I got to go do it again immediately because I knew what I did wrong. And then I took my goggles off and the just pouring of blood. I was just frustrating because I'm like, okay, well now what? You know, and I ended up having these massive pulmonary contusions.
So yes.
my lungs were bleeding and I didn't realize. So I was losing a lot of oxygen going in.
Right.
And, you know, I was having the best day to all of a sudden I'm at the hospital. And they're trying to put my face back together.
It's like how you felt right before coming onto this show. It's like I was having the best day,
and then
I had to do
just...
hypochondriactor. What about?
Put me together pretty well. I'm pretty happy about it.
Yeah, you look scarless.
There wasn't too
seriously.
Much, you know, I don't think it was reconstructed. They just stitched me up, but I know that the surgery takes like. It usually takes like an hour, but they were in there for like 3 hours. I think my coach or somebody's like, "Hey, this guy's kind of." Somebody, you might want to do a good job.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like trying to line the lip up. And
right.
Right. That's wild.
Yeah.
And then, but when your lungs filled with blood and you couldn't breathe, and how are they now? Did it scar your lungs in any way or?
No, that was good. I mean, the body's such a wild thing. I mean, I just healed up. I mean, I was good to go. Actually, it was one of the less, you know, physically jarring injuries. It was more mental. I mean, I've fractured my skull before. I've done things. But that one, it was just like, I have to look in the mirror every day and see my face. And it only hurts when it's cold and I'm only in the cold. And, and to break up the scar tissue, you have to like rub the tissue if you're familiar with it. So if you have a cut or something, my physical therapist had to rub my lip every day.
Oh my
and
God.
And we're traveling around. So I'm sitting there in the airport, like on my phone, or she's on her phone and her hand is in my mouth, rubbing my lip. And tears are pouring down my face because it hurts so bad. And people are walking by, like, what is going on?
Oh my God, wait, how long do you have to rub your lip?
Oh, it would be once a day for a couple hours, you know,
like an hour and a half.
Like an hour and a half, or you know, anytime we had time to kill, you know, like we got, you know, 20 minutes waiting for this car. She would just kind of get in there.
That's hysterical.
Yeah.
Hey, can you pick me up? And also, can you rub my face?
Yeah, exactly.
Because it'll just harden. It'll be stiff, and you're stuck like that. And you know, my interviews were all funny because I was talking like, oh, it's a great day today. It's a little cold out.
All right, let's get into the heart stuff because I know you had some issues. Were you born with a heart condition? How did it manifest and what is it?
Yeah, so I was born with a congenital heart defect called tetralogy of Fallot. It's very similar to what Jimmy Kimmel's son experienced. And so, you know, I was a baby and, you know, parents brought me in and it's called a blue baby. I wasn't getting enough oxygen into my bloodstream. Mm-hmm. I'm slowly turning blue. And they're like, well, he's got to go into the emergency room immediately.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so I was operated on, had two open heart surgeries. And,
wow.
You know,
how old?
I was probably one. Yeah, one.
Wow.
Right. Wow.
And, you know, I have the scar down my chest, a couple of things. And it hasn't been too much of an issue in my life, thankfully. You know, I've gone and I do these stress tests and I stay up on, you know, the checkups and whatnot. But
yeah,
I think it was something that I wasn't really super excited to tell everyone out the gate because I didn't want the media to pick it up as like this huge story. But around the second Olympics, I said, hey, this is a part of my life. This is mm-hmm. something I've dealt with. And right. I'm so thankful I did because I see yeah. people all the time now.
Yes.
And the most random places that'll come up and be like, hey, like, yeah, you don't know me. And I'm not going to, you know, I don't want a photo. I don't want anything, but I just want to tell you
yes.
when I was in this darkest moment with my family and husband and partner, you know, and our child was needing this operation, you know, they mentioned your name.
Yes.
And you became this kind of...
Isn't that so cool?
I mean, yeah, yes, this, I think that's so important to name that you are actually such an inspiration as a world-class athlete who has combated and mm-hmm. gone through this. It's such an inspiration for people yeah. dealing with the same issue.
And then when mm-hmm. you embrace the fear, because I know what you mean. It's like, I have something personal going on in my life. I don't want to share it because mm-hmm. I don't know how it's going to be received. I don't want it to be the story, like right. whatever that is. And then you do and you open yourself up and you realize, oh, it's not so scary to mm-hmm. reveal myself and yeah. to talk about like vulnerabilities. And in fact, not only is it not scary anymore, it's actually educating and informing and helping other people. And
yeah.
then it kind of snowballs. You're like, how else can I help people? I mean, that's one of the things why Priyanka and I wanted to do the show is because I've never talked. I have diarrhea of the mouth with all the shit that goes on in my body now.
As well as normal diarrhea.
Yeah. As well as normal diarrhea that we talk about. All right. So, but Priyanka, I want to ask Priyanka, what is Sean talking about? Like, what exactly are you born with? What goes on in the heart? Is it an open valve? Is it a cut valve? Is it something that doesn't get blood to the heart correctly? What causes it and why? What
yeah.
happens?
Okay, so it's called tetralogy of Fallot. Fallot right. was the French physician that came up with this, but tetralogy, tetra is the Greek word for four. So tetralogy is, in medicine, it's a set of four related symptoms that are occurring together. So in tetralogy of Fallot, it's actually very complicated. It's okay, Sean, if you zone out a little bit, but there's four issues that are happening
Which
in the
Sean?
Heart.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. the first issue is your heart has these chambers and the lower chambers are called ventricles. So the first mm-hmm. issue is there's a hole in between the two lower chambers.
And that's just because you're born that way.
You're born
there's
this
no
way.
Reason.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's right. there's born. So that's the first issue. Then the second issue is that your aorta, which brings blood to your body from your heart, your aorta actually overrides that hole. It's called an overriding aorta. So it lies over the hole between those two ventricles. That's the second issue. Mm-hmm. Then the third issue is your pulmonary artery, which is the main blood vessel that goes to your lungs. It's more narrow than it actually should be. So that's the third issue. And then the fourth issue is that you're one of the chambers of the heart, the right ventricle, the muscle is really, really thick. It's called right ventricular hypertrophy, where the muscle gets super thick. So that's the fourth problem. And that makes up the tetralogy.
So then mm-hmm. when they open up the heart as a little baby, how do they stop the hole? They just take some chewing gum and like plug mm-hmm. that shit up? Or?
Well, they fix the hole. They move the aorta. They fix the narrowing of the pulmonary artery. Mm-hmm. If the muscle is too thick, they might shave off the muscle. It just depends.
But what do they do to the hole? What do they, seriously,
they
like,
stitch
do they
it.
Sew it up so it get, like they pull it together so there's no hole? Is
they
that what
patch
they
it.
I had stitches. Yeah, I had stitches. Yeah. And then I was very lucky, at least I feel very lucky, that normally they put in an artificial valve that lets the blood flow in, uh-huh. but that valve needs to be replaced.
Mm-hmm.
And so thankfully, my surgery just passed the marker where they stopped doing that procedure.
Wow.
So I don't have to go back and get,
thank
you know.
God.
Can you imagine right now, it's the Olympics is next season. I better go get this valve replaced.
Oh my goodness. I mean, right.
And rub my lip on the way.
Yeah.
And but wait a minute. So Sean, now you don't feel anything. There's no effects of your heart now, or it's all better. There's nothing.
No, like I said, I mean, that's so well put. I was actually, I mean, I've heard it here and there, but I never really, that was such a well, elegant way to put, you know, the what's wrong, you know, but I definitely, you know, I've had calls when I was younger. I like passed out on a soccer field. Certain things mm-hmm. had happened
wow.
and everybody went, oh my goodness, yeah. it's his heart. It's yeah. his heart. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of scares that kind of, you know, maybe I'm pushing it too much, maybe I'm not. But mm-hmm. in the end, mm-hmm. you know, I really just kind of found my own boundaries. The most frustrating thing at times is that I get injured here and there, obviously, mm-hmm. and I can't get MRIs because there's metal in my mm-hmm. body. And
yeah.
it's a magnetic sort of
So what do you
procedure.
Do?
You do either a CAT scan or some
exactly.
other study that doesn't involve magnets. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a dye mm-hmm. contrast CAT scan or something where I have to like, they pump you full of this like ink. And then yeah, you hobble yeah. into the next room, you get the scan, but it doesn't yeah. really tell you everything you need to know.
Right, right.
And then just simple things, you know, certain medications that race my heart. Like I just try to, you know, avoid certain things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. and yet, but yet your heart races when you exercise or when you,
oh, yeah.
right? So, but that's a different kind of racing.
Yeah.
It's from,
so
yeah.
when I mentioned earlier, it's called the stress test, which basically yeah, yeah. means like they just push you to your limit. You go in and they have like a bicycle, a stationary bike. They hook yeah. you all up to, yeah. you know, various machines to record your heart. And you have to blow into this big tube and keep like a little ping pong ball floating
right.
while you're exhaling and biking as hard as you can. And, you know, I just remember as a kid, I'd go in and do these tests and like, I was trying to win the test.
Yeah, course, yeah, like, yeah, yeah,
such
exactly.
a competitor. I was like, I'm going to beat this test.
right.
I will black out.
yeah. Like Sean, if you've watched, I think it was Rocky 2 or it was one of the Rocky series where the,
sure.
the Russians, they're like prepping and they're using all these like scientific
yeah, I've
gear.
Seen that. Yeah.
That,
yeah.
that is basically
Drago, yeah.
the stress
yeah.
test.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
That's
totally.
What he's doing.
No, Sean, guess what? We're going to play a game.
It's called Dr. Wally's Hall of Fame. So the way it works is you're each going to get three questions. And if you don't know the answer, just guess because I give possible points for creativity.
Yeah.
So
okay.
Sean, you're going to go up first with the first three questions.
Here we go.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Question one, name the condition that is common amongst cold weather enthusiasts or people who work in the cold that results in a severe injury due to freezing of tissue.
Well, it's frostbite. Is that what you mean?
That is correct. Yes.
Oh,
the
come
answer
on.
Is
that
frostbite.
Was a, that's okay. a great... Oh my God, I got that one. Okay, let's
okay.
see.
Second question.
Jeez.
Which member of the Spice Girls abruptly left the group in 1998?
What do I have to say their real name or do I, is it just their Spice name?
I'll take the Spice name. I'll accept Spice name.
Who is the first Spice Girl
who
to leave?
Left? Yeah, she left and it was really abrupt. Yeah.
I don't know. The only one I know is Sporty Spice.
That is incorrect. The answer is Ginger Spice or Jerry Hallowell.
That's yeah. hysterical. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Third question. In the TV show Smash, what was the name of the musical your character Terry Falls was in?
Oof. Oh my God, that was so long ago. That was like 10 years ago or so. It had to do with Dangerous Liaisons.
There you go.
But
yes.
I don't remember the
yes.
name of the show.
I'll give you a half point for that because the okay. answer is Liaisons the Musical.
Liaisons.
So you were close. You were
that's
very
ridiculous.
Close. Okay, so you
okay,
got
good. So
like,
I got
one
like two and a half.
Points. Actually, one and a half.
Oh, one and a half.
Sean,
one and
don't
half.
Push
okay.
it. Don't
okay,
push okay, your luck okay. there. Okay. Okay, Sean, first question.
Okay.
Okay, what is the American equivalent of what British hospitals call A&E?
A&E?
Yeah, British hospitals call this A&E, but what's the American equivalent of this?
The ER?
That is correct. Yeah, the emergency
oh,
room. Yeah.
Wait, what does A&E stand for?
A&E stands for accident and emergency
oh.
in England.
Oh. I was just right. like, I'm like, where do I always have to go at the hospital? It's like, well, it's the emergency room.
Yeah,
the,
there you go. Yeah,
I'm
exactly.
just looking for that
okay.
big glowing sign.
yeah. Okay. Yeah. Second question. What was the theme of Burning Man 2022?
Oof.
How would he know? Do you go to Burning Man a lot?
I may have been...
Yeah,
really?
Yeah,
I went for my birthday. Was there a theme?
Yeah, there was a theme.
That was this year, you mean?
Yeah, this year's Burning Man.
probably like Love and Dust or something.
Close. The answer is Waking Dreams.
Oh.
I don't know if it showed up there.
I was
okay.
going to go with Sandy Underpants.
He was.
Yeah. Wait, how many times have you gone to Burning Man?
Was that your first?
Oh, so what did you think?
It was a trip. I just like, right? You know, my girlfriend had been and she's like, why haven't you gone? I'm like, well, it's always during my birthday. So I just didn't think that was a good way to spend it. And she's like, no, we have to go for your birthday this time around. And it was really fun, honestly. It's so hard to describe, but the art was like my favorite part.
Yeah,
you
just, I bet.
You go around and out of nowhere, there's just like 30-foot statue that's being hit by the you know, desert, you know, sunrise. Or whatever. It's just
and
crazy.
It's interesting because I've heard, you know, a lot of people, I don't know, partake in some wonderful things while they're there and they don't feel neither awake or dreaming. But anyway.
Yeah.
Waking Dreams, Burning
Waking
Man.
Waking Dreams, Burning Man.
Okay. Third question. In the movie Friends with Benefits, which actor do you threaten to fuck up like a hurricane?
Oof. It was definitely Justin Timberlake.
That is correct. Timberlake is the correct answer. So
that was
actually,
my big movie moment.
That's great.
Okay, Sean, you got 2 points and Sean got 1.5. So you won this
Sean
game.
White.
Congratulations.
Sean White may have won,
gold
but spelled his name wrong.
You are in Dr. Wally's Hall of Fame. Congratulations.
Thanks, pal. Thanks, pal, for being here and sharing your
stories. Thank you again for talking about Tetralogy of Fallot and sharing your experience.
It's
so important to get the word out. And thank you for being an inspiration.
Thank you. This was fun.
Thanks, pal. Thanks. I hope to see you soon.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Pal.
Ooh, golly.
What a great guy.
What a cool cat. Yeah.
That's why you go like, oh, that's why he's like, you know, people who are just like chill and like normal.
He's just so cool.
I know. And funny and game for anything.
Ironically, Olympic game for anything. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that guy.
Yeah. It's so interesting talking to people that have really major health issues at very young ages.
Yeah.
You know, he was hardly one and having 2 surgeries. I mean, it's just incredible then. And I'm so glad he finally had the courage to come up and talk about it because it's really inspiring to hear.
Yeah. And like I said, it makes you want to like, when we first started, I was like, I gotta go for it. I have to talk about all my shit.
I know.
I always do. I think it's healing to talk about it.
And I'm so glad that you did because it created this platform.
Guys, thanks for listening today. We really appreciate you. Don't worry. Be healthy. Until next time. Bye.
Bye.
Hypochondriac Actor is a Hazy Mills production hosted by me, Sean Hayes, and Dr. Priyanka Wally. Rebecca Eisenberg and Todd Milliner are our executive producers. Production and editing is by Rabbit Grin Productions. Original music by Scott Eisenogle and Lior Rosner. This is a Hazy Mills production. All content discussed on Hypochondriac Actor are the individual opinions of Dr. Priyanka Wally and Sean Hayes and should not be construed as personalized medical advice. By listening to this podcast, you agree not to use this podcast as medical advice to treat any medical condition in either yourself or others. Please consult your own physician for any medical issues that you may be having. This entire disclaimer also applies to any guests or contributors to the podcast.